The member for Mayo is calling on the government to reassign more public servants to Centrelink during the pandemic. She joins me now to talk about this and other news. Hi, Rebecca Sharkey.
Good morning, Jenny. Good to be with you from Canberra.
Oh, good to have you with us. I hear some of your constituents have had an awful time dealing with Services Australia. Tell us more about this and how COVID restrictions are making things tricky.
Well, we got on the phone very quickly to the relevant minister. We're here based in Canberra at the moment, but we got some calls and some people who visited the office after visiting Centrelink. I guess it's a twofold issue. One is that at the Mount Barker Centrelink office, they would only allow four in through the door. They wouldn't allow people to sit in the waiting area, even though the floor size would allow more people in, because there were four staff serving at the counter. So what that meant was that a lot of people were waiting out in the cold and the rain, and that's just not good for anybody. We also know at this time of year there are a lot of older people that visit Centrelink because they need to go in and give an update on their previous financial year's income versus the estimate, normally for their age pension, particularly if they're a part pensioner and they're still maybe doing a little bit of work or they have some investments. So there's sort of a high load normally in the July and August months at Centrelink. And we're also finding, again, a lot of people are ringing up on the phone. They're on hold for a very long time. And then they get to the front of the queue and the phone call abruptly ends. It just hangs up. So then they're going and visiting as well, which is compounding the situation. Last year, the government moved a lot of other public servants into Services Australia. Now, the government said yesterday, I asked a question of the minister, that there are still some staff that are in that Services Australia role. Wouldn't quite give some clarity whether it's a similar volume to last year, but I think it's quite clear there's huge demand at the moment and we need to be more flexible with the public service and put them where they're needed.
Mm. And have they given you any further response to that or if they will be looking into
it? We'll keep pursuing it. Look, I understand that the Mount Barker office situation will be addressed, particularly with how many people are allowed in the door and perhaps there's ability to have a couple of people in a safe waiting area. We're all still wearing masks. So, you know, as long as we're meeting the square meterage rule, I think that that's completely fair, which is now relaxing as well this week in South Australia. But to leave people huddled, waiting in the cold, I don't really think is the outcome that either the state or federal government want. And we just need to manage these things better.
Yeah, you've also been calling for better management of COVID testing in SA. Some people waiting 8 hours in queues.
Exactly.
Has the minister responded to your concerns on
that? I think because it's died down now, we're not seeing the rapid, the large volume of testing and people lining up that we had a few weeks ago. But, you know, things can turn on a dime. We could have that situation again. And we don't want to have that situation again with another outbreak in South Australia. And that's why I think the state government in particular needs to be planning ahead, particularly in the hills. Winter is still with us for a long period of time. And I think we feel the brunt of that weather more than anyone else, particularly if we're out in the elements. And so some better shelter, a more permanent drive-through situation. I think it was really good that the state government organised with ClinPass for a short period of time to have Strathalbyn as a drive-through COVID testing station. But we really need to have a long-term plan and whether that's a way that you can have, you can sit in your car and basically wait for your mobile phone to go off and then go and line up and get tested. We've got the technology. It can be done. We just need to implement it because I don't want to see again long queues smacking around the corner with people freezing cold for several hours under an umbrella with the rain coming in sideways. It's just not acceptable.
Now, mobile black spots in our regions, we've got quite a few through the Hills Fleurieu region, which is your electorate, as well as a few hundred up in Barker. But in the latest round of the federal government's black spot program, none of the areas receiving any funding. What went wrong here?
No, well, only two were selected for all of South Australia. And for round 5A, there was $80 million in the bucket. Only $36 million was taken up by the telcos. And I guess we're in a bit of a difficult situation, because if we go back a few years, the telcos were saying to me and other members of parliament that it just wasn't commercially viable anymore for them to put up new, more mobile phone towers, that really, you know, much of what was commercially viable for them was already up and running across Australia. So we have a real concern with this being not part of the universal service obligation, so they're not required to make sure that they've got coverage everywhere. There is a regional telecommunications review, and I would really urge anyone who lives in an area where there's perhaps poor reception to really share their thoughts and experiences, because we need to make sure that we have much better coverage right across Australia. I think that mobile coverage needs to actually be part of the universal service obligation, much like landlines are, because, you know, that's the way of the future. People aren't using their landlines anymore. They've even made the good old telephone boxes free because people are not using them as much as they used to. But if people are interested in telecommunications, I'd ask them to visit RTIRC.gov.au. I'll repeat that, RTIRC.gov.au. That's the Regional Telecommunications Review. There will be virtual public consultations tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's on Thursday, the 5th of August. And if they jump online, they can have a look there and book in and get involved.
Do you think the federal government will be considering maybe paying telcos more if incentive is the problem?
Well, I think that when there's an expectation that the telco will put in a third, that the federal government will put in a third, and a third essentially comes from somewhere in the community. In some cases, it's state government. In others, it's local government putting in. I think perhaps the federal government might need to increase their share to make it a little bit more attractive. We didn't have any applications in for right across Mayo. We still have many black spot areas. Now, I'm trying to get to, you know, the bottom of why the telcos have not put in for our region. That's my understanding from the Minister's office, that we just didn't have the applications in. But there's got to be a better solution, because there are still way too many areas in high-risk bushfire areas that don't have good enough telecommunications.
Now, Rebecca Sharkey, Member for Mayo, prominent business strategist Dr. Paul Schutzer has called for funding for a feasibility study into a dual-gauge tunnel which would connect Adelaide with the Hills and Murray Bridge. What do you make of this suggestion?
Well, it's certainly a very ambitious proposal, with underground stations at Mount Barker and Harndorf and Stirling, and really all the way down through Mount Lofty, from what I can understand. I've had so many proposals that have come across my desk from, you know, trackless trams, repurposing the current freight line for passenger transport. I think people have even suggested a monorail. I'm looking forward to seeing what Regional Development Australia, the RDA, are putting out. They'll be releasing, I think quite shortly, a plan for public transport in our region, in particular, I think, commuter public transport, so those challenges and the congestion that we have when we head down the freeway. To my mind, and I've on a couple of Friday mornings in a row, I've been doing an early morning drive down the freeway, because normally I'm in my office at Mount Barker, but I've been having to go down the freeway first and then get into the office. And, you know, you can, providing this on an accident, you can get down the freeway quite well. It's when you get to Glen Osmond Road that everything really, you know, comes to a grinding halt. So I think that it's really important that the RDA consult widely, share widely their findings that they'll be then putting to state government. We need to have any proposal well costed. That's the critical part for me. And we need to, if we're looking at this as being a bit of an election issue, we need to have that done soon so that I can go and lobby both sides of government, and of course, hopefully, we'll get some response back, because now's the time to try and get some funding in for some major change here.
Thank you so much for your time today, Rebecca Sharkey. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Good to talk to you. Thanks, Jenny.